Sports Talk New York with your hosts Mark Rosenman and AJ Carter. Sports Talk New York is sponsored in part by Prince Associates, Send in the Clowns, the Phoenix Tube Company, CelebrityTrips.com, the law firm of Decalator Cohen and DePrisco, Solomon Jewelers, and Relish Restaurant of Kings Park. Here are your hosts, Mark and AJ.
Joining us now is a man who grew up in a tough area of the Bronx, but that neighborhood and the life lessons he would learn there would later prove very useful to his career. He started out pursuing his craft and studying at the Actor's Studio with Lee Strasberg. He appeared in Off-Broadway in the early 1980s, as well as being a singer in his own band. He is best known for A Bronx Tale, which he originally wrote for the stage and performed it as a one-man show in Los Angeles. He became the hottest property in Hollywood since Rocky. He was offered over $1 million to walk away from the project with only $200 left in the bank at the time, and yet he refused. While in New York, he completed the screenplay of A Bronx Tale and soon found himself starring opposite Robert De Niro, who chose the script for his directorial debut. He has more than 50 movies to his credit, including one of AJ's absolute favorites, Usual Suspects. It's mostly everyone's favorite. It's such a great movie. Bullets Over Broadway, which he earned an Academy Award nomination. Analyze This, Mulholland Falls, just to name a few. He is just as comfortable behind the lens as in front of it, as he's also directed the HBO series Oz episodes Unnatural Disasters, Showtime's Women vs. Men, the feature film Noelle, starring Susan Sarandon, Penelope Cruz, Robin Williams, and Paul Walker. He is a self-avowed New York Yankees fan, and you probably know him as Chaz from Bedford, as he has been known to have frequent disagreements, well, who doesn't, with Mike Francesa of WFAN. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome Calogero Lorenzo Palminteri, but you can call him Chaz, to WLIE Sports Talk New York. Welcome, Chaz.
Hi, good to be there. How are you guys doing?
Well, we have you on the air, so we're doing great.
Great.
So, you know, take us through the process of how, really, your life story goes from a one-man play to a movie with Robert De Niro and now to a Broadway musical.
Well, you know, I was out in L.A. at the time, and I ran out of money, so I got a job as a doorman because I used to box. And, you know, I did Hill Street Blues and Matlock and all those shows. But then after a year, I ran out of money. And I was going to go back to New York, but then I decided I better stay. So I got a job as a doorman. And then one night, this guy came in and gave me a hard time. He was really rude to me. And I told him he wasn't getting in. And he said, you're going to be fired. And that guy was Swifty Lazar. Now, Swifty Lazar was the biggest agent in the world at the time. And I just told him he couldn't come in to his own party at the time. And I got fired in 15 minutes, just like he said. And I went home, and I said, what am I going to do? And I said, well, if they won't give me a great part, I'll write one myself. And I sat down, and I said, well, I'll write about this killing that I saw when I was a kid and about my relationship with this wise guy and how it affected me and my father. And I started writing, and after about 10 months, I had this one-man show. Because I wanted to do a one-man show because I figured, out, you know, this way they got to notice me, you know what I mean? So I did the one-man show, and it exploded. The reviews came out, and it was like, wow. A week later, I got offered $250,000 to walk away from it. It became the hottest property in L.A., just like you said. And then I said no. Then they offered me $500,000, and then it went up to $1 million, and I still said no. And I kept doing it, and about 3 weeks later, I did it one night, and somebody said Robert De Niro was in the dressing room, and he saw the show, and I went down there, and that was Bob, and we talked, and he said, hey, you should play Sonny, you should write the screenplay, and if you shake my hand, that's the way it'll be. I shook his hand, and bam, I was off to the races.
You know, what would you say has changed, if anything, with each incarnation of the show? First, the one-man play where you played 18 different roles in the show, to the film where you played the crime boss, Sonny, and Robert De Niro played your dad, to now a full-blown Broadway musical.
Well, I mean, the one-man show is a little more, it's a more visual thing because it's me. I'm actually the guy telling the story. I play all 18 parts. And as one-man shows go, it was great. You know, I won the award for best show in Las Vegas and L.A. I mean, it really worked great. But then when we did the movie, I mean, that just made it more cinematic. I was able to write the screenplay, and you saw all the characters. Now, I personally think, of all the incarnations of it, the musical is the best because when you add music to this great story and lyrics, and it's the themes are so operatic about love and hate and racism and... It's amazing, and father and son. and the triumph of spirit, when you add that music with great lyrics, the music was written by an 8-time Academy Award winner, Alan Menken, and Glenn Slater, 3-time Tony nominee, wrote the lyrics. So, you know, and Bob De Niro, who directed the movie, and Jerry Zaks, who directed the one-man show, co-directed the musical. So it really has the best of everything, you know.
So how does the process go when you've got this and it's been a one-man show and it's been a great movie? What happens? Did somebody come to you and say, let's make it a musical? How did it come about to say, to actually become a musical? What were your first thoughts?
Yeah, well, we always talked about that. It was such a great story that it was such an iconic story over the years, and people just love the movie, you know. It's always on the top list of people's favorite movies and everything. And so we just thought it would be a great story. And then Tommy Mottola, who is the music legend, you know, came over. He did the music for the soundtrack in the movie and said, look, we got to make this a musical. And he took it on his back and, you know, he made it happen. You know, you got to have somebody starts putting his hand in his pocket. You know what I mean? Starts taking out money. And we got together with the Dodgers, who produced Jersey Boys. And we made it happen, and now it's the New York Times critics' pick. It got rave reviews, and it's doing incredible business.
You know, each of us, especially of our age, has photographs, movies, and videos of parts of our lives. Right. I can't imagine what it must be like for you, first to portray so many people in your life in your one-man show, or sit back and watch the film, and now to see the show. What's the experience been like for you, having your life played out so visually in front of you?
You know, to be honest with you, it was so amazing in the beginning, and when the movie first came out back in '93, it was like surreal. You know, and it was my dad in the audience watching the movie with my mom, and there's Robert De Niro playing my father. You know, it was really surreal. And then as years went on, it became like a dream to me, and I accepted it. And now, when we did the musical, because I added these new scenes that were not in the play and not in the one-man show, it started to, like, that realization came back to me, and I said, holy God, look at this. And because I remember when my father said these things to me. And really, it was my dad who said the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. That was my father who said that to me, and he made me promise that I wouldn't waste my life to him, just like you saw, you know. And, you know, it worked out pretty well. I didn't waste it, you know.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking to Academy Award-nominated Chaz Palminteri. It's interesting that you just mentioned those words from your dad. As this is a sports talk show, it's so interesting that one of your dad's heroes really might be what shaped your life and drive you. Because if I'm not mistaken, those lines you just mentioned, you carry on a card in your wallet, and those nine words were uttered by your father and was reflecting on a young prize fighter named Billy Bello, who had died at 20 of an overdose. And again, the words were, the saddest thing in this world is wasted talent. So I guess it's two questions in one. Why are those words so important and had such a deep impact on you? And then secondly, it's kind of ironic that the actor who played you in A Bronx Tale, Lilo Brancato Jr., is someone who, because of his legal issues, wasted his talent. If not for his incarceration, what type of actor do you think Lilo could have become?
He would have been a star, no question. He had tremendous, tremendous talent. He could have been, you know, like any of the stars today. You know, he had tremendous talent, natural gifted ability. You know, and I tried to talk to him after Bronx Tale, and I tried to talk to him, and you know, it's really ironic that here's a boy who's in the quintessential movie about not wasting your life. Yeah. And that's what he does.
Yeah, it's so ironic.
You know, I mean, for years I kept telling him, because I knew he was fooling around with drugs, and I said, you're wasting your life. And I said, what the hell are you doing? But he was so talented that he still did. He worked with Penny Marshall and Denzel Washington in Crimson Tide, and he did Renaissance Man with Danny DeVito. I mean, he was so talented that people were willing to, like, let it go for a little bit. But obviously, when he got involved with, you know, a horrible thing about a young police officer dying, I mean, that was, that's it. You know, that's uncalled for. Boom. You know, taking drugs is one thing. When you take a life, especially a life of a police officer, that's it.
Right.
There's no coming back from that, you know.
you know, obviously you wanted to go into acting. We've had so many different athletes on our show that AJ and always asked, you know, they talk about who, you know, growing up they watched that inspired them. What actor was it that just, like, you looked at and said, wow, this is what I want to do, and why?
Well, it was probably Marlon Brando, I think, because, you know, he was in the Actors Studio. I was years after him. And I remember seeing On the Waterfront, which is still my favorite movie. And On the Waterfront is, to me, the most perfect movie by Kazan and Marlon Brando and Rod Steiger and, you know, Carl Malden. I just remember that movie. It just had such an effect on me, you know, because it was like a movie about thugs and this one guy who just would not give up, who just wanted to put the mob away, you know. And it's Shakespearean. You know, it's like, you know, in a way, Bronx Tale, the same thing, you know, has these bigger-than-life themes, you know.
You know, obviously, AJ and I kind of relate everything to sports. And when we've talked to different players over the years, we talk about growing up in different baseball organizations or different hockey organizations, you know, be it the Montreal Canadiens or the St. Louis Cardinals. You went someplace which is
the actor's studio.
Lil Strasberg's actor's studio, which is the quintessential place for actors to go. And we've had the opportunity to talk about players and ask them what they learned from some of those great managers or coaches at those various organizations. What was the most important thing you learned at the Actors Studio, and who was your most influential teacher there?
Well, obviously, there was a few teachers there. Mitch Nestor was great. But when I really started, you know, you couldn't work with Lee right away. You had to earn your way into his class. And then finally when I did, you know, I was really like, you know, you think you, I mean, I was pretty good. I was good from early on, you know, but you think, you know, you start doing things that I started picking scenes that I wasn't ready for, you know. And I remember the first time I did that, and he came over to me after I did the scene, and he said, "You're not ready for that yet." And I was like, "What?" He said, you know, you're not prepared yet for that. You got to wait." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So, I mean, I remember that, and he told me, you know, I had to work harder. I thought, you know, when I got to the bigger classes, the better actors were there. I had to, you know, up my game a little bit. So it's like, you know, you're in the minor leagues and you get into major leagues and you have to, like, you got to hit the curveball. You got to hit, you know, everybody can hit the fastball, but when you get in the majors and they start throwing that slider at you and that curveball, and all of a sudden that changeup comes at 74 miles an hour, whoa, this is a whole nother thing here. You know, and when you're a pitcher, and you think, and you're doing great in the minors, then all of a sudden you get up in the majors, and you know that curveball, it's not working anymore like it used to, and that fastball's not working anymore like it used to, and it's, and you have to, you know, either you're ready for it or you're not, and that's it, you know.
So we're here talking with Chaz Palminteri. Chaz, question: you talk about being prepared and doing things. One of the things, if I read things correctly, you were worried it was being typecast as playing a mobster. And how did you get out of that, and what was the thing that finally proved to people you had the range to do all the different roles?
Well, when I did Usual Suspects, I started getting more cop roles, too. You know, I started playing more cop roles, you know, like in Diabolique, and then I was a lawyer. And look, you know, when you do something really well, people want to cast you in that part, you know. And some of my iconic films were, I played the wise guy, Bronx Tale, Bullets Over Broadway, but they were all these wise guys were very unique. Sonny was a wise guy, but he was very vulnerable. He was very funny. And Cheech in Bullets Over Broadway was this genius playwright. So each one of them had something unique to it that I brought to it. But you know, everyone always in the beginning, you get like typecast. But if I said, well, look, if I'm going to play a wise guy, I want it to be a three-dimensional wise guy, and I want to put my own little spin on it. And it worked. My career has been great. You know, I've been having a great career. You know, a lot of people don't realize that I've written a lot of movies.
Right.
I'm really known more as an actor, but I've written you know, a lot of stuff, and that's what I'm most proud of. You know, is my screenplays and things that I've written. I wrote a play called Fateful. And it's been done in 20 languages, and then it was a movie
with Cher.
With Cher and Ryan O'Neal. And so a lot of my plays do very well, you know. So I'm very, very fortunate and very happy about that. You know, I just love Bronx Tale is very special to me. I love my neighborhood. I love growing up in the Bronx, 187th and Belmont. I go back there once a month, and when you see the show, you'll see the four stores that I put that are actually part of the set are Mike's Deli, where the greatest sandwiches and cold cuts. It's been there 80 years. Gino's Pastry, the cannoli king, the best cannolis in the world. Madonio Bakery, the best bread in the world. And Bogatti Raviolis. And they've all been there 170 to 100 right. years, these stores. And they're the set. You know, when you come there, you see them as the set. And the show is just so... You see people cry and laugh and get scared, you know. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock used to say there's only three things you could do to an audience, and if you do two out of three, you're doing great. He says you can make them laugh, you can make them cry, or you could scare them. And in Bronx Tale, you know, we do all three. I mean, people just stand up and cheer at the end of it, and parents bring their children there because it really sends a message to kids about not wasting your life. And sometimes, you know, when kids see it like that, as opposed to their parent telling them, it has a bigger impact, I think.
Very interesting.
Mark's going to ask you some questions about sports. I asked a couple of questions about you still. Looking at things, it's not just Chaz Palminteri, the writer, Chaz Palminteri, the actor. You become Chaz Palminteri, the brand. So how do you branch out into a restaurant, into a vodka?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was always, I was always an entrepreneur. I always had the feeling that I wanted to do other things, just not be an artist. There's a lot of artists that just do that. And they, you know, they don't want to get involved in other things. You know, I'm always involved in my career, in my projects, with my manager. I'm always involved in that stuff. I want to know what's going on. I want to know who's getting how much and what's going on. And I have always wanted to have a restaurant. You know, I was good friends with Frank Sinatra, you know. And Sinatra would tell me about Toots Shores and about Jilly's, and I met Jilly. And it was incredible. You know, guys would go there and, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, girls and celebrities would come, and it was like his hangout, you know. And I said, wow, I'd like to have a really great, you know, restaurant one day. And then finally, you know, the opportunity came about. I have my own restaurant. It's called Chaz Palminteri's Ristorante Italiano. It's on 890 2nd Avenue between 47th and 48th Street. And it's really one of the finest restaurants in the city, no question. You could look it up in Zagat, and you'll see. I mean, you know, I've always said that if my name's going to be on it, it's got to be the best. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it.
Well, AJ, you and I know where we're going to dinner in a couple of weeks on Saturday night.
What I want to know is what is the – I took a look at the dishes on it. How is the menu, the Bronx Tale menu, relate to the Bronx Tale any one of the incarnations?
Yeah, well, there's one dish called the Bronx Tail. It's actually a lobster tail, but it's a lobster tail with a brandy sauce, with a linguine, with scallops, clams, baked clams, and a pound and a half lobster. And it's phenomenal. It's just, you know, I love it. I mean, I can't eat it as much as I want because it's so big. But it's just it's incredible. Not only is my restaurant a great Italian restaurant, it's also one of the finest steaks in the city, if not the finest.
Well, you had me at lobster tail.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, the fish is fun. Everything is phenomenal. We have this great chef, Shafenko, who's just phenomenal. And look, you know, and it's amazing because it's on 48th Street. It's on 2nd Avenue, right off 48th, and my play, the Broadway show, is on 48th Street. One's on the west side, one's on the east side. But so many people go to my restaurant, then go to the show, or go to the show and then go to the restaurant. So it's pretty great. It really is.
I have one more acting question before we move on to a couple of questions about sports. If you could go back into a time machine and play any role in any movie ever made, what movie, what role would it be?
Wow. If I could go back, you know what? It would have to be Tony from West Side Story.
Nice. Okay. That's a nice one. And that's interesting because your show is actually being hailed as a cross between Jersey Boys and West Side Story.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I was too young to audition for West Side Story when it came out. I was way too young, you know. And then when they did the revival of it, I was too old. And Guys and Dolls is my three favorite shows is West Side Story, Guys and Dolls, and Raisin. So and then same thing with you know, Guys and Dolls. I was too young when the first time, too old the second time.
So are you Sky Masterson or Nathan Detroit?
Yeah.
Who do you want to play?
Oh yeah, Sky Masterson would have been great. Yeah.
Now see, if you did really want to break out of stereotyping, you could have been Tevye and Fiddler. That would be interesting.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. But you know what? There's people there that just fit it more than I do.
Yeah.
You know?
In case you just tuned in, we're talking to Chaz Palminteri on WLIE Sports Talk New York. You might know him as Chaz from Bedford. So we'll talk a little bit about sports. You grew up in the Bronx, so it's natural. You are a huge Yankee fan.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the very first Yankee game you ever attended, and who was your favorite player growing up?
Well, Mantle was Mickey the Mick was always my favorite player. You know, I mean, Mantle was my, you know, I would cry, you know. It was funny when he finally passed away, you know, in the 90s, I cried. I couldn't believe it. It kind of affected me. I was in my car, and I was at my beach house, and we were pulling in, and they just said Mickey Mantle died. And I don't know what happened. I guess it was part of my childhood or something that just went away, and Mantle was, you know, my favorite. And he wasn't the greatest guy in the world, you know. But he was my favorite, you know, the Eminem boys. And I remember my father taking me. I was very young. I must have been maybe 6 or 7. And I remember the grass and how big it looked to me as a young boy like that. It looked like, oh, my God, it looked like the world, all those people there. I never forgot that, you know. And I still go to the games. I'm a diehard Yankee fan, Knick fan, Giant fan. You know, Ranger fan. You know, I'm all for, you know. And I love going to the games, and I love sports. I really do. And, you know, so many people have taken that line, the saddest thing in life is waste of talent, to a lot of the sports people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I don't know if you remember Len Bias. Remember Len Bias?
Absolutely. Yes. Draft pick of the Celtics died right after the draft.
Oh, yeah. The Celtics got him, and he died, and a lot of people, you know, talked about so many people.
Tyson for a while. Mike Tyson as well. I mean,
Mike
what
Tyson,
happened to his life?
Yes.
Right? Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden. Yeah.
So many. It is really. Yeah. It is. So, you're so, absolutely. It can be used for so many different things.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys, when I see them, they always tell me they love my, you know, LeBron's Tale is their favorite movie. Yeah. You know, I could say right now, Michael Jordan, Bronx Tale's favorite movie. Magic Johnson, Bronx Tale's favorite. Jason Kidd, Bronx Tale's favorite movie. I mean, I know. I met them, and they told me, you know.
It's one of ours as well,
How frustrating is for you to watch the Knicks this year, then?
It was tough. It was tough. I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, I wish they would have got Derek when he was a little younger, you know. Rose is a great, great player, but you know, he just can't play, you know, 40 minutes anymore. He can't.
And if he can't play 40, Noah can't play 4.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's just we got these guys a little bit on the downside, you know. Believe me, Rose, we got Rose, I was like, well, you know, because we really needed a ball handler, you know, some guy, you know, we needed somebody, you know, to do it, but he just can't play, you could tell, he just can't play 45 minutes anymore, he can't. Can't do it. You know?
It is sad. We thought we were getting something, and you know it was worth the gamble for 1 year. You know,
yes.
Lastly, we could do a full month of shows with you and still only scratch the surface as to what you've done so far in your life. So to end the interview, we'd like to play just a quick game of word association. I'll say a name, a film, or a subject. You tell me the very first thought. It doesn't have to be one word, but it could be a quick thought of the first thing that pops into your head, okay?
Okay.
Joe Pesci.
Oh, a great actor. Great actor. And one of the funniest guys I ever met.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats, you know. In the first five all-time greats, yes.
Woody Allen.
The most prolific filmmaker that ever lived.
Jack Warden.
Really great character actor.
Yeah, you know what? He's a guy that the younger generation. I mean, for me, he was Heaven Can Wait was like was phenomenal. So many people don't know of Jack Warden, and that's a shame.
He was in All the President's Men.
Yeah, he's in so many different films. That's why
Jack Warden is He's like those guys, you know, that are just, you know their face, but, you know, Adolf Manju, those old times.
Right. Very interesting.
What's the other guy? You know, he played, who was the colonel in MASH? You know.
The Colonel
Harry Morgan.
Harry Morgan. Right. Oh, forget it. Great.
Harry Morgan. Right.
Harry Morgan.
All right. Jennifer Tilly.
It's funny. Just funny.
Rob Reiner.
Brilliant director.
Kevin Spacey.
Brilliant actor.
He is maybe one of the most one of the roles that he gets not enough credit for is his portrayal of Bobby Darin is just one of the greatest things I've seen on film in a long time. And that movie does not really get the props it should get.
Well, because, for some reason it didn't, you know, I mean, look, just because a movie doesn't make $100 million doesn't mean it's not good.
Yeah.
You know, you got movies that make $100 million and they're shit. You know, God. I was.
It's all right. Steve is very quick on the delay button. We got it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You know, but, you know, it didn't make a lot of money, but it's a terrific movie.
Speaking of that, the film, Faithful.
Yeah. I you know, to me, that's one of my favorite movies. I still get so many people who see that movie and love it. I would think the movie that I love, if you said, pick one of your favorite movies, other than Usual Suspects, Bronx Tale, and Bullets, and a lot of the ones that are really known, would be Guide to Recognizing Your Saints.
Yeah, interesting.
That's the one that's one of my favorites of all time.
We have a few more, and then we'll let you get back to the Steeler New England game, all right?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
Cher.
Oh, one of the smartest women I've ever met. Absolutely. All around, just smart.
The film Henry and Me.
That was fun to play Babe Ruth.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, that was real fun to play Babe Ruth. You know, it's wow. I mean, Babe Ruth. You know,
it doesn't get much better than that, right?
Who's the greatest baseball player that ever lived? It's Babe Ruth.
Right.
That's the name. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guy could have been a Hall of Famer as a pitcher.
Absolutely. First ballot Hall of Famer as a pitcher. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the guy hits 59 home runs. The second guy hit 18.
Right. Yeah. He hit more home runs than teams combined in the day.
I mean, what's that about? I mean, come on.
And the only thing he was on was hot dogs and beer.
I mean, imagine this guy if he took some steroids.
Really? Yeah. Exactly. All right. Okay. We got four more for you.
Sure, it's all right.
A Bronx Tale, The One-Man Show.
That is my greatest single achievement, I would say. My most rewarding, because it was the first thing that really just broke me, I would say, yes.
Okay. A Bronx Tale, the movie.
What? I wouldn't change a frame.
A Bronx Tale, the musical.
To me, it's the greatest of all three. It really is.
Okay. And lastly, first thought that comes into your head when I say Charles Palminteri.
Good guy.
Hey, you know what? This 40 minutes, we're right with you for sure. Chaz, thanks so much for your time tonight. Hopefully I'll catch up with you at a Ranger game soon.
Absolutely.
We look forward to seeing A Bronx Tale. My wife and I are going sometime, I believe, in February or March. I can't wait. And
we're looking to get tickets.
And I watched the movie just recently again. So just so thrilled and so happy to have you on.
Thank you so much. And if you love the movie, you'll love the play even more.
I'm sure we will. We really appreciate your time tonight, Chaz.
Thank you. All right.
You got it.